What's up, everybody? Welcome to Coffees for Closers, a show about visionaries, entrepreneurs, and of course, closers. Here we talk about their wins, their failures, and ultimately the story of their success. What's up, everybody? We are here live with Roger Moore, founder and CEO of Loan Pronto, founder and CEO of Title Pronto, founder and CEO of Title Pronto, founder and CEO of Diamond Insurance Services, and the co-founder of Red Dynamics, which was a pretty significant exit. Roger Moore's one of my favorite people in the country in the mortgage industry, one of the best guys you'll ever meet, an absolute powerhouse in the space. We are here live. May we welcome Mr. Roger Moore himself. Thank you, Roger, for coming to the show.
I'm flattered. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're here live, Coffees on Tour, our first guest, and I really appreciate you coming. So we're going to dive into it now. I know I don't know how much of the show you've had the opportunity to watch, but you know, we'd love to get together with different founders. Roger's here in his comfies here in Phoenix, getting some sun.
We got some sun today. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Yeah. How you liking Phoenix so far?
I love it. It's nice, warm, no time change, no daylight savings time.
No time change from
North
Carolina?
There's no daylight savings times here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, North Carolina gets it. So I love it. It's a beautiful city, nice weather. So I'm glad to be here, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'll dive into it here. Roger, so, you know, real successful guy, and you've been a success for years. I'm going to dive into what's your morning like? What do you do when you get up in the morning?
So it depends. Sometimes I have three kids, a wife. I usually try to wake up about 4:30 or 5, knock out about an hour or two of work in the morning. Hopefully the kids don't wake up early. If they wake up early, I make breakfast for the kids. I don't have a set routine. I think a lot of these people out there kind of have the set routine, shower, workout, cold plunge. That's not really me. My morning's a little more ad hoc, kind of bob and weave with the kids. But the goal in the morning is to get up a little bit early, get my mind right, get my day together. Spend time with my kids. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know that, you know, you have a little bit less time with your kids at times. So the times that you do have them, I try to make it eventful and special. So I make my kids breakfast every morning. I try to make their breakfast for them, other lunches, and kind of get out the door. So nothing firm every day except try to get up early, get my mind right, get the day going, get some emails out, and kind of get my vibe going, my flow.
That time with the kids, you know, like, that's real special. The fact that you're making them breakfast and lunch, you're doing both?
Try to do both.
You're a man of service. God bless you, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
I like that. I like for me, cooking for people's, comes from my heart. Something I like to do. So for me to be able to spend that time with my kids in the morning is something I really enjoy doing.
So you're cooking food? You're not just slapping together like some bagels?
I like to cook. I'm a cooker. So I like to get that to them and talk with them. And I'll sit with them and eat as well. And it's a cool little time we have in the morning to kind of chit chat and, you know, talk shop, talk school, talk goals.
Love it.
A little bit, yeah.
Love it. And we're going to talk goals in this session here too. So, you know, I want to talk about all the businesses you have. You know, you're such a driven entrepreneur. You got, and we're going to talk about Loan Pronto and the success of Loan Pronto, but like, you got Loan Pronto, you got the insurance agency, you got Title Pronto. Like, what inspired you to get so diversified in all these different ventures?
So, the mortgage business to me was always easy, right? I've been in a mortgage company since 2007, so going 17, 18 years. For me, title and insurance isn't a diversification, it's more of a vertical, right? So if you have a mortgage company and you have clients that need to close loans, they need a title company, right? So it's an easy, seamless way to bring in more revenue, make your clients' experience easier. And same concept with insurance, right? Insurance, you know, everybody who gets a house, buys a house or refinances has an insurance policy. So to create those verticals for us wasn't for me I don't stray outside mortgages a whole lot. I don't get obsessed with shiny things. I don't do solar, although I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I try to stay within my lane, which is mortgages. And these two verticals were a way to accomplish two goals. One, make my client experience a little better and create more revenue for the company. And so that was easy for us to do. It was a simple step, a couple of JVs with a couple other people I already knew, create the vertical, make my client experience better, bring in some revenue, and just make a more successful company.
What have been some of the obstacles setting those up? Because I know a lot of people probably watching this show right now going, I thought about insurance, I thought about title.
The obstacle for everything is manpower, employees. Like, how are you going to, like, you know, you can have the best idea in the world, but if you don't have the people to do it, it will fail. Like I created a real estate company, Home Pronto, 3 or 4 years ago, actually 2020. It failed because I couldn't find the manpower to do it. So for us, those two verticals were, can we do it? Can we launch it? Can we find a partner to get into it with us? Because we can't do it on our own. And from there, can we find the employees, right? So what we did there is we just moved a couple of our employees inside of our Loan Pronto team to our two verticals. So it was pretty easy. Honestly, it was pretty damn easy. It didn't take much at all.
Insurance is not that easy. It's like a state of mind because people aren't like you.
Well, I don't. It wasn't hard. I mean, for me, it's like if you try to go out right now and launch an insurance agent on your own, it'd be pretty tough. But I had a guy I knew who owned an insurance company. He was ready to grow a little bit. I bought half into his company, and then we just had an agent. We kind of launched it. So it was actually pretty simple. I think
not easy, man. Can't go and buy half of an insurance company.
Yeah. So I tend to think things are as difficult as you make it and as simple as you want it to be. And for me, I don't find those things, like mortgages to me are tough, right? Scaling a mortgage company to me is extremely difficult. Launching a title company or insurance company is just finding the right partner to do it, getting the people in place and make sure the processes and procedures that exist and last. So, I don't know.
It wasn't a big obstacle.
The key for me was it didn't take away from my primary role, which was building a great mortgage company. Anything that took me away from that, I wasn't interested in. For me, this was helping create a better mortgage company, so that made it easy for me.
What about some of the regulations behind like having a title company and having an insurance company?
Yeah.
Has that been like, were there obstacles behind getting when you're disclosing? And you're also a lender as well, so yeah. How does that all jive?
So nothing's harder than mortgage, right? I mean, we're possibly, besides financial services, SEC-based stuff, we're likely the most regulated industry in the nation, right? You got federal regulations and I'm in 21 or 22 states. That's tough, right? I mean, you have a full-time compliance person. For us, the insurance and title piece, you play within the same rules, but it's a little more lax, right? And what we do, title insurance-wise, is done through Fidelity, right? So Fidelity kind of carries that load for us. And for insurance-wise, we have a parent company that we broker everything through, so they carry a lot of the regulations. So from a regulation perspective, it's wildly simple compared to what you and I are used to on the mortgage piece, which is complicated and expensive and timely and very complex. So, you know, I always tell people, if you can do mortgages, you can probably do anything, because there's nothing more complex than a mortgage from top to bottom, end to end, A to Z, regulation wise. So it just wasn't any harder. It's quite a bit easier, actually.
Who's on your leadership team to like who you can trust this much to delegate to? Because you're an army of one in terms of like you're just the CEO.
So we run a flat company. You know, I have leaders in my team. I have my first employee. He's been there since day one. He's my COO. He's kind of my right hand man. He runs most things that I can't run, technology wise and processes wise. But we purposely run a smaller, flatter organization where we don't need a big leadership team. And I can do most of it on my own. And what I can't do, I hand off to him. I've got some other leaders in the company that can help me as well. But we try to keep it flat and simple. You know, we're not a complex organization. We have 50, 47 employees, 19, 20 loan officers. For us, small is better. It's more agile and it's simpler to run.
You know, you're not just small. Guys, this guy's not small. He is super mighty. I mean, mighty is not even the word. I mean, to be as big as he is right now, it's you know,
thank you. Yeah.
You're very small, but very mighty.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about how you per loan officer have the most fundings per LO in the country.
Yeah, I'm right proud now. Of that.
And I love to see that. I love that you boast about it because it's a fact.
Yeah.
You know, it's What is it, like 6 loans per LO in a down market?
We average right now, most months, 11 per LO.
Yeah. 11 loans per loan officer.
Yeah.
So guys, if you're watching and you want to make money as a retail originator and you're in North Carolina, this is the guy.
Yeah. Well, for us, like I don't, you have a big company, so don't take it the wrong way, but I always say, and this, I didn't make this up, it's a Steve Jobs thing. It says a small group of A players can run circles around large groups of B and C players. So we built our company. My hypothesis was with the right marketing, right processes, right technology. I know you're big in technology as well. My hypothesis was I could do a lot of loans. It's a flywheel for me. So I could do a lot of loans with a small amount of people. And so we try to be very thoughtful about who we hire, why we hire that person. You know, we're not going to hire an LO doing one loan a month, right? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's normal and it's average, but that just doesn't fit with us. Our goal is people that can do a lot of deals each month, low maintenance LOs, and an operations staff that can tear it up too. And so that's what we've always built ourselves on. I'll never be a company without. I mean, maybe I'll get there one day, but for us, my goal is to see if my 20 LOs can do, you know, 800 loans a month. So for me, that's a point of pride. That's something that we take a lot, that they take very seriously.
You're like the 300 movie.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, I mean, our peak, we were doing 650 with 16. So we have a good system and it works. And, you know, obviously it's very rate driven and market driven, but I think it's a good business model that works for me, but it's just not for everybody. Not for a lot of people, actually.
And you're the only one that could do it. I've never met anyone. I don't understand how. And that's what we're going to figure out on this podcast today.
Marketing.
So one thing that everybody knows about your company is culture.
Yeah.
Like, you got such a fun culture. Like, you guys hang out together. I know you guys do annual trips.
Yeah.
And they're not just like, oh, you know, we're going to UWM. Like, you guys are going to, like, the Bahamas. You guys are traveling, having a great time. And I'm talking you up, and I got people in North Carolina going to go, you know what, Roger?
Yeah. Well, you know, Jay, culture's interesting because you can't, you know, every company has a culture. And if you don't think you have one, you probably have a bad one, right? And you have to be very thoughtful about it. And you can't just walk in one day and say, hey, e-mortgage guys, like, this is our culture, right? You can't just change it on dot. It's something that's created from day one. It's something that the owner curates. And the owner casts a long shadow on the company, right? I mean, you know, a company is the... it mimics the owner in every way, shape, or form. So when I built the company from the scratch, I was extremely, extremely thoughtful in who I hired, why I hired him. I hired very few people from mortgage. I hired almost everybody outside of mortgage because I was very more, do I like you? I call it the airport bar test. So what I say is I interviewed every employee we have. And as we've grown, I still do, but like in the very beginning, I would meet every employee intimately, go get a beer. And I always ask myself, if we were stuck in an airport and we had our flight got delayed or got, you know, for 4 hours, could I be with you at the bar for 4 hours? Like, could I enjoy your conversation? Would we laugh together? Would we tell stories together? And if I couldn't, or I didn't want to, I didn't hire you, right? So our entire thought process was like, if we can create people we would love to be around, they'll love to be around each other. And then what happens is, as you bring those people in, you know, the first four or five employees, I was super thoughtful. They were people that I loved to be around. They're all still here, every single one of them, after 6 years. And a lot of tumultuous times in the mortgage industry. But those people will be the DNA of your company. So when you're building a company, which you've already done, but those first four or five people, they will be your rocks. That's like your foundation. Those are your pillars. And those people will develop your culture. And if they're people that are like you, like your long shadow, the culture will develop the way that you want. But then once you get it going, I always say culture's not cheap either, right? You have to really do things and be thoughtful. And we're not perfect, but we do care. We try to do things, events. I take my company on a trip every single year, up or down markets, we still do it. And what we try to show people is, hey, you give us all you got, we'll give you all we got, and maybe and then some. And people like it, you know, and then they're, you know, the key is, you know, if you have a great employee, does their husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend like to be part of it too, right? Because if the spouse is bought into the culture, they want to be around there, then they're not going to want the husband or wife to leave. Like, you know, this is a good place to be. Like, a place I work doesn't have this. So, you know, it's hard to create it. If you don't already have a culture, it's hard to turn it. But if you start from day one and you're really thoughtful about it and everything you do is trying to keep in line with the promises you made early, your culture will create itself in a very special way. And I think we've done a good job at it. We're not perfect. I mean, we've fucked up plenty of times. I've made mistakes, but, you know, most of my employees stay there. And I think that's why.
Man, your culture is the best. You got great culture. Yeah. And people love you. Your employees love you. And even here in the Masterminds event, like, you're the most popular guy. You
know, I don't know about that.
And it's a reflection of who you are as a leader.
I try to be myself at all times.
Yeah. And you're like, exactly. You don't change. Yeah. The vibe of Roger Moore is always the same.
You see what you get.
It's constant.
Yeah, appreciate that.
And I admire that about you. I really do. And for those listening, like, what's some simple practical advice you can give to people to build a solid culture for their companies?
So I think a lot of owners of companies get out of the trenches too early. And I think that hurts it a lot. And especially if you're not a huge company. You know, a lot of people start a company because they believe that they can work less, or they can do less, or they can step back from what made them great. And I have friends that own companies, and the moment they take their hands off the pulse or get out of the trench, I always say the trenches, right? Things start to go off the rails pretty quickly. And I think that a lot of people in the early stages get away from things early. Like right now, I still originate loans. When I do a lot, when somebody's out of the office, so I have, my office is in an office. I have no doors. It's an open office. I have a desk. But when somebody's out on vacation or sick, whatever, I go sit with my team. Right. And I think what I'm trying to say there is you're a servant leader at all times. Take out the trash, you know, do the shit that nobody else likes to do, and your team will respect you for it. Like I'll originate loans. Like I'll go meet with realtors. I'll do everything that I ask them to do and then some. And if they see you doing that, I think it goes a long way. And what I'm trying to say is, if you try to think you're better or you don't want to do what they want to do, you can't create the culture you want, because you're not the person that, you're not emulating what you expect them to do. So for me, my main thing is, you know, get in the trenches, work with them, do what they want to do, work harder if I can, wake up at 4:35, sling out emails because they know that you're working and they respect that, late night emails that you're working hard, but then ultimately care about them too, you know. Do special things for them, you know, try to take them to lunch, buy lunches. You know, there's a lot of little things you can do that make people think you care, especially when the market sucks, right? You know, I mean, we all know that last year sucked. I mean, I don't know how, it just wasn't great. I mean, it was hard for every company, but, you know, you can't take away all their perks. You know, you don't mess with their income. Don't mess with their commissions. Sometimes you got to make less so your employees make the same. And if you can do that stuff, people will respect you for it, and they'll go to war with you, which I think is what you want. You want people that are going to go to war with you at all times. That's how I look at it.
I think
warrior soldiers. That's my leader. That's my general. He'll fucking take out the garbage. He'll originate loans. He'll meet real estate agents, and he'll do the same things we do. He'll pick up the phone call and answer a call in. Right, like he's no better than us. He's just one of our guys.
That's a true leader.
Yeah,
that's a true leader, and that's reflected. Yeah, I mean, I people laugh when I take out the trash. Sometimes I'm we had a party, I'll be taking out the trash. At a party, you know, it's like beer's coming out of the bag spilling on me.
Like, and the take out the trash thing is such a cliche, but it's really that
so
true.
Real.
It's like, why am I going to do something that you won't do? Like, we work together. Like, I always say we, I don't say I. I say us, not me. I always try to think of it like we're in here together, and I'm not better than you. I started the company, but the company doesn't exist without you. So we're on the same level playing field, and we all need each other.
That's awesome. Now, you know, you talk about sending out emails at 4:30, 5 in the morning, sending out emails late at night, but you also have 3 kids, you got a wife, and we know wives are demanding. Mm-hmm. And you got multiple successful businesses. How are you balancing? Give us some secret sauce on how to balance all of this.
You can't. I mean, you don't ever balance it. I mean, the key is to... It's hard. I mean,
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, I know. There's probably not a harder job than being a wife of a driven entrepreneur, because the thing about, I talked to my wife the other day, and my sister's husband's the entrepreneur as well. It's like, we have the need to build, right? Like it's in part of my soul. Like I have to do this, and there's no way, if I didn't do it, it'd be like a dragon slayer losing their dragon. Like it's just part of your soul, right? Like you have to build this, right? You and Sam, you got this company. You have to build it. Me the same way. And so being married to an entrepreneur is a very tough job, because they have something that they have to do it, and there's just no way around it. If you take it away from them, you take away a piece of their soul and their being, and that's even worse, right? So, I think it's you have to find the times that you can be with your family and enjoy it. Like, so when I'm sending out emails in the morning, so my kids aren't there. And when I send out emails in the evening, so my kids are in bed, right? So I'm tired of taking away time from my wife, but I think she gets it. But I'm not perfect. I mean, there's definitely times where, like, I'm sitting there and my kids are, like, needing me and I'm on my phone doing something. I wish I didn't have to do that. But I hope that their takeaway in time is that my dad fucking gave it all. Like, he was a hustler. Then I want to emulate that. I want to be a hard worker. I want to build something too. So it's a juggling act. You know it. I mean,
yeah.
There's time. Like, I'm away from my kids right now, right? Because I'm doing this mortgage thing. I don't love it, but I think it's just a balancing act that's really hard to get perfect. And you just do your best, and you hope that the long term of it is that financially, you put yourself in a spot that you can do the things that you love to do. And from a visual perspective with your kids, that they saw their dad do everything they could to make their life better. And I think ultimately that's how I look at it. I don't know if I'm right or not, but that's my vision on it.
No, everything you said is absolutely correct. And it's a perpetual juggling act for myself. Like, something I learned from Matt, and I try to do this, is, like, you know, go on airplane mode when you go home. But then
sometimes you can't.
You can't.
I mean, sometimes there's a shit show at work, or, you know, something happened and you have to make it happen. Because if you don't, it's really bad. And so sometimes I'm like, I have to do this. Like, I don't want to do this right now. I have to step away from dinner or whatever it may be. I would say one thing I try to do, I try to get home the same time every single day.
What time is that?
Between 5:55 and 6:10. Every single day. And I try to leave the work every single day at the same time every day.
And you make dinner with the family?
I make it
for dinner?
I do.
That's amazing.
So I always try to make dinner or breakfast with them. So I try to get
a full meal.
I've figured out a way to do as much as I possibly can. And I could do, I always tell my wife this, I'm like, I could do a lot less. And I could build a lot, probably my business would probably be bigger, but I get that there's a little sacrifice, but I try to do as much as I can, but there's some times where I can't do as much as I want to, and that's just part of the sacrifice you make if you want to build a great company, which is part of my soul. That's what I want to do.
What do you think the vision is for the company? Like, you talk about, you know, growing it massively, but your loan officers are funding 11 loans per loan officer. You know, we got 900 LOs. And
I try to be careful of what a vision thing. My vision for my company, I want to be the top 5 broker in the United States with a tenth of the LOs. That's my goal.
I think you hit that at some point.
I did, quite a few times.
I think you hit that.
I want to do it on a consistent basis. And I want to build a place that people, my biggest goal is to build a place where LOs don't leave. Like, I don't have LOs leave me. They never leave, right? Because they love being there. I take care of them. And I think my bigger goal outside numbers and size is, like, can I create a lasting company where people love to work? They're proud of it. They brag about it. They want their friends to work there. They tell their family about it. They tell people on social media. That's my biggest goal. And if I can do that, I think my monetary goal, which is to do this amount of loans with this amount of people, will come with it as well.
So let me ask you this, like, what really inspired you to grind so hard? How did you become this? Was there a person that made you this way?
No, I grew up poor. I didn't have money growing up. I mean, I didn't have a whole lot. I mean, I didn't grow up, like, in poverty, but I grew up a challenging life. And, you know, most of my family's problems revolved around money, you know, the lack thereof. You know, fights and arguments, and, you know, not being able to go here or not being able to buy that. And I always just told myself, like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I had nobody in my company that ever started a business. I think I was the first person to graduate college, me and my sister. And so for me, it was, I just wanted to grow up a certain way and have a certain life. And I also don't play well with others. You know, I don't really like to work under somebody. I can deal with authority, but I don't like it. And so for me, I didn't want to work for anybody. I wanted to have a certain way of living, a certain way of being, and a certain lifestyle I wanted to live. And the only way to do that was to build something and build it well and work hard at doing it. Yeah.
Did you have any mentors along the way?
No. I don't have any mentors.
You know, you've always been, like, you're the president, CEO. You don't have, and you've said that to me before. Like, I don't play well, and
I don't know. I've never. Everybody's like, I got a mentor, and I'm not saying. Listen, maybe I need one. I should have one. I don't have a hero. I just don't. For me, it's just I know what I want. I know how to get there. I don't need anybody to tell me how to do it because I think I know how to do it, and I think I can get there without it. But I don't think it's bad to have all that either.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. So one thing I want to ask you is like, you've come so far with each LO's production, and each LO's funding 11 loans. Like, give me some secret sauce how that's being
marketing.
But what about marketing? Everybody's doing marketing.
Who's doing marketing?
Every LO does sort of marketing, right?
What
are some of the ideas that you have that you've implemented? You don't got to give your playbook.
I'll get right my playbook. This is my second mortgage company I've owned, and I owned another company, actually, a UWM broker as well, and I started that company in 2007 when the economy fell apart, and we used to buy leads from LendingTree. And if you know me, I don't like to rely on other people for anything.
Yeah.
And so we was like, how can we bring a business of our own? So we got in the radio marketing business. It took a long time to figure it out. But what I found with radio is if you're consistent and you're intelligent and you write good copy and you're not afraid to spend a lot of money, you can make the phones ring. And so I've always done radio. And I do that because I can control my destiny. I don't have to rely on anybody else. I don't have to worry about LendingTree, bank rates, fee structure changing. I don't have a lot of competition. I am extremely bold, and I understand risk in the right way. And I also
Radio is so risky with regulators, CFPB, and you know.
But it's not. It's only risky if you try to be risky, right? But if you put a good message out there, an intelligent message that doesn't work in a gray area, you can accomplish several goals. One is you can create incredible brand equity. Like some of the markets I'm in right now, Nashville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Charleston, Jacksonville. I've been there for 5 years. Like I'm a household name for a lot of people. So people come to us because they've been hearing us for a long time. The problem with radio and the problem with almost all marketing, problem with podcasts, everything is people don't have the longevity to make it work, right? You have to be able to do something for a long period of time on a consistent basis in the face of maybe losing some money early to do it. And what most people fall apart with all marketing is they quit too fast. Right? Maybe you quit your podcast after 2 months instead of 2 years. Or maybe I quit marketing after 3 months instead of 3 years, right? So the consistency is so important. If you can get through it in all times, it will work. TV works. It all works if you do it consistently with a great message. I always say your advertising budget probably needs to make you a little queasy each month.
What's your advertising budget? I mean, no one has this advertising budget listening, but...
No, I mean, like, we probably spend somewhere in the high twos, 250 to 290 range right now. At our peak, we were spending $700,000 to $800,000 a month. You know, right now, there's not as much meat on the bone, so you got to be intelligent. But we'll spend whatever we need to do to spend it. And even, you know, there's certain markets where we might break even over the last couple of years, but, brand equity takes so long to get it. But it's so short to lose it, right? So you have to keep moving forward even when you think it's not working, because it will work long term. Just don't get out too early is what we've always.
How are you framing your radio messages?
Depends on the market. I mean, today I just changed all my ads today, right? So when rates dropped in late December, I turned everything. So for all of 22, most of 22 and 23, we got way out ahead of the curve and we started advertising HELOCs. Everybody was like, you're a fucking idiot, Roger. Like, nobody's doing HELOCs. I'm like, dude, people are going to start doing HELOCs. You watch it, right? So we started doing heavy HELOC advertising. A lot of that turned into full refinances, right? Because a lot of people can't get HELOCs. So we were doing a lot of that. When rates dropped, you know, late December, early February, we switched it all quickly to first mortgage business, right? If your rate starts with 7, you're going to be in heaven, is what we used to say. So people were calling us to refi their 7.5%.
So you came up with cash phrases.
Oh, yeah. Monikers are great. Yeah. Monikers are wonderful. People love to remember something. You can remember your best brands have some sort of moniker.
Do you have a jingle for Loan Pronto?
No, we don't.
No jingle? Is there a reason why you never did a jingle?
I think they're corny.
But you got monikers.
I like a moniker. Jingles are annoying. But so like today I switched everything back to our Express Line of Credit advertising move, because nobody wants to rate and term right now because rates are back close to 7 again. So it's beautiful for us because I can change my message very quickly, and it works because my brand equity has been so strong for so long.
And what are you seeing an influx of right now? Purchase, refi, HELOC?
So we do a little bit of everything. We have a really good purchase business that's all referral-based. So we do about 30% referral purchase. So we have
you're a huge brand. Everybody. I don't think anybody in North Carolina doesn't know. Everybody knows
Toronto. So we have a cool hybrid model where we do a lot of advertising, which brings in business. But that's 30 to 40% of what we do is referral-based. That's a mixture of purchase and refi. We're 30% purchase right now. The rest is all new generation stuff off of off-radio stuff.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you this question. Have you always been an entrepreneur, or did you start as in retail? Did you start your business in retail, or did you start your business as a broker?
When I got in the mortgage business, I was, I don't even think I knew mortgage had two G's at the end. I really didn't know anything about it, but all my buddies that graduated college before me, my fraternity brothers, all went down to Charlotte and they were working this big mortgage brokerage, and I heard some guy had a Porsche. And this was right when Boiler Room came out, right? Remember that movie? And I heard some of us had a Viper and a Corvette. I was like, what is going on down here, right? And they brought me down, they interviewed me, and my mom was like, you're crazy, it's 100% commission. I was like, I don't care, I'm good, I'll make money, watch. And so I joined that company and I did well very early on. And then I was there for a little while and I started my own company when I was 27. But that's how I got in. I mean, it was just a random event that happened one day. I saw somebody I knew and he mentioned I could get a job there. I was like, let's go. So it's like the butterfly effect kind of thing. It was super random, but.
I actually started my first mortgage company at around, it was about 25. Yeah. Why'd you start your own?
I just felt like I was smarter than the owners of the company I worked at. And I looked up one day and I saw them three up there and I was like, I know I'm smarter. I'm not trying to say I just knew I was better than all three of them. And I felt
like there's three owners and you're like, I'm better than all three.
And I was producing more revenue. I was a better LO. I just thought I could do them. And I just didn't want to work for somebody anymore. I didn't like it. I just didn't feel like they weren't offering anything to me. And I was only giving them money. And I'm just going to do my own thing. So I did my own thing. I didn't think a whole lot about it. It was always easy for me. I don't think things are that hard. I think people overthink things a lot.
Yeah. But you think everything's easy. You know, you think everything's so easy. Tell me some of the challenges.
Challenge right now are like, how do you bring it? Like, so my challenge, how do I bring in more business, right? Like, I have to run a marketing campaign to feed, you know, leads to 19 LOs, right? I have 19 LOs that are primarily lead based, right? So moving the needle in this type of market is extremely tough. I mean, what's the message going to be across 10 major markets that are going to get the phones ringing, that are going to get an ROI that's going to make your company grow? That's really tough, right? How do you keep 45 employees? So we've never laid off an employee during all these. We didn't in 22. We've never laid off one employee. How do you keep the gears grinding to keep those employees engaged, happy, financially solvent, without losing your team? Right, that was incredibly difficult. Right, that's really tough. You know, and those are challenging. Like, those are our challenges. Easy thing is start a company. The hard thing is how do you keep it running efficiently and keep people happy? That's really tough.
So give me some suggestions on how, give the audience listening some suggestions on how to do that.
How to keep people, I think a very cheap way, I don't think you can cut your way to profit, but you can cut your way to a bad culture pretty quickly, right? Like, you know, let's say an average employee makes $6,000 a month, right? You cut 5 employees, right? You save $30,000, but you've destroyed the culture of the company because now everybody's walking around with a guillotine over their desk. You have to suck it up and you have to realize that you're either going to make less money or lose more, but you have to keep your team in place because if you don't, the other side of that is you're going to lose a lot of people. I think a lot of people cut early and it's a cheap way to try to make money, and you can't really make money by cutting expenses unless your expenses are super bloated. So we've been really disciplined about that. You can't cut comp. Like, you can't go to your LOs all the time and say, we're not making more money, I'm going to cut your comp. then you also crush the morale, right? So you just have to just suck it up as an owner and realize that if you have a viable business plan, you're going to lose more money now. But the upside of that is you have an infrastructure to explode when it happens. And that's what I always thought. I was like, why would I lay off 3 people? I'm going to say $15,000 a month. Like, what's that? Then what? Like, all hurt. They're all good. They all love each other. They're all friends. Like, so if so-and-so sees so-and-so get fired, like, you don't think they're looking for a job the next day. And all of a sudden, your great people leave. I think a lot of people make that mistake early. You fire too quickly when it goes down. And you've also, all the people are also thinking like, hey, I gave you everything I had all those years. Now we lose money and you fire me right away. So I think it goes back to culture. But you just have to suffer a little bit as an owner.
That's great advice.
You do have to suffer sometimes.
That's great advice, because a lot of CEOs, and especially in our industry, they're very quick to lay people off. Like, oh, let's just cut their cost. Let's just fire this guy. We need to cut overhead. And they don't realize that they're cutting people's lives.
Yeah. And it's also your fault for, you know, we didn't hire a lot during 21. We tripled our volume, but we didn't hire a whole lot. And so when things got worse, we didn't have to fire. I think that was a really great move we made. But I just think firing people that are great employees that gave you all they have is a very cheap way to try to make more money. And it actually loses more money.
Roger, my last question, and this is my favorite part of this whole podcast, and it's a 3-pronged question. What is a personal goal that you have for yourself? What is a family goal that you have for your family? And what's a goal that you have for Lone Pronto? Any order you want.
I would say from a company perspective, our goal is to grow again. You know, we've been stagnant in terms of employee account. We haven't lost, we haven't gained. I'd like to get back up to $1 billion a year in fundings in 25. I'd like to get to like 600 this year. I'd like to, you know, that's the main goal. Get to $1 billion, right? Get back to profitability. From a personal goal, that's a really good question. I'd like to become a better leader. You know, I really try to be a student of the game. And I think I'm a good leader right now, but I think I want to be something that everybody looks up to a lot more and wants to emulate and look up to, be a mentor. Maybe I'm somebody's hero. Maybe that's the wrong word. But personally speaking, I just really, you know, I want to be somebody that my kids love and care about and think is a phenomenal dad. I don't have like anything like a place I want to go or thing I want to buy. Like, I don't really roll like that. But I think I just want to be a better leader. What was the one in the middle?
A family goal. A goal that you have for your family this year.
I want to start seeing the world a little more. You know, we don't go a lot of places. I'd like to start, you know, seeing the world, I want to see the United States, honestly. I'd like to start, you know, I spend a lot of time with my kids, but I'd like to start taking them on adventures that, you know, allow them to see the world and America and the national parks and all that stuff that matters, that creates lasting memories that when I die one day, like, they think that was the coolest thing they ever did, you know, kind of stuff. So I don't have like a place I want to go or a thing I want to do. I just want to be a really good dad and a good business owner, and I want to grow my company, and I want everybody to stay there, and I want people to just love what they do, and I want my family to be proud of me, and I want to be proud of my company.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, Roger.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you, and yeah. I'm proud of everything you've built, and I'm proud of like your work ethic, your grind, and most importantly, I'm proud of your company. Yeah. You're one of my favorite guys on the planet, and I appreciate you for doing this podcast. Lone Pronto, this guy's the man. Make sure you guys follow him. He crushes it, by the way, on TikTok. God bless you, Roger. Yeah. Thank you for coming on Coffee's on Tour.
Yeah.
All right.